Hello everyone, thank you for coming today. I'm Richard Wu, Product Marketing Manager at Microsoft's Cloud and Enterprise Marketing Team. I'm joined today by Oliver Chu, Senior Product Marketing Manager, who will be talking about Hadoop in the cloud. And with that, I'll pass it on to Oliver.
Hello everyone. So welcome everyone, and thanks Richard for that introduction. As Richard mentioned, my name is Oliver Chu. I'm in product marketing at Microsoft, looking after big data and data warehousing. And just wanted to thank everyone for making the time, either this morning or this afternoon or this evening, wherever you are, to take part in this webinar on understanding what is Hadoop and why deploy it in the cloud. So this is very much an introduction webinar to what is Hadoop. And hopefully this will give you guys a good understanding of what it is. So the agenda that we're going to cover today is these four big points, which is, let's explain what Hadoop is, so you understand one of this big major trends in the marketplace, and you can see how it would potentially fit into your current IT infrastructure. The second point that we want to cover is why deploy to the cloud. The third point is what is Microsoft's solution for Hadoop. And then finally, we'll end with how do I get started. So hopefully by the end of today's session, you'll have a good introduction of what is Hadoop and some next steps on how I can explore using Hadoop on my own and how I can start getting this plugged into my current IT infrastructure, maybe even start doing some experiments on it. So with that as a backdrop, I wanted to start talking about Hadoop in a very basic sense as it relates to what most IT organizations have as their IT infrastructure. So to do that, we start with the current IT infrastructure of the data warehouse or the traditional data warehouse. And so a lot of you guys should know what the data warehouse is. It's a central store for doing BI and analytics. And the power of the data warehouse back in, you know, a decade or two decades ago was that it can bring in sources from your transactional systems, from your line of business applications, from your ERP or your CRM, and you could do ETL on that stuff. So you can do data cleansing and you could do data movement into a central repository so you have one version of the truth. And with that one version of the truth, you can now get some really compelling BI and insights from that data. And so this was very much the traditional approach. And what we've seen is that this traditional approach is reaching a tipping point, and a lot of analysts are starting to point that as well, and they're really talking about big data. And so we'll define big data in a second, but we want to see what are the different characteristics or factors why this approach is reaching its tipping point. And the first major trend that you guys should all be aware of is the increasing data volumes. And sorry for that, apologies for double-clicking too fast. So the first point, increasing data volumes, is actually not something that is too surprising. And you guys have probably heard many different vendors and analysts talk about data volumes for maybe the last decade. But it's really coming to a head recently because organizations are starting to see how they can capture this new increasing data volumes. And so, for instance, IDC has said that data growth from 2010, which is about 5 years ago, to 2020 will grow by 50x. In fact, what they saw was by 2020, there will be a 40 zettabyte digital data universe. And so what that means is people are starting to take advantage of different data sources and different data types that are really increasing the volumes of data to an extent that the traditional data warehouse is not able to handle that. The second point is around real-time data. And for real-time data, this is taking advantage of data that's coming in essentially at real time. So think of things like email, think of things like social sentiment through tweeting, through Twitter. Think about this as the Internet of Things is another trend where you have data coming in from devices in real time. So these are all different types of data that can potentially come in real time, and things that the traditional data warehouse was never necessarily architected or designed to take advantage of. The third trend is around data types, new data types. And this is really oftentimes one of the top characteristics of big data. And what we're talking about when we talk about data types is essentially you might have heard of unstructured data or semi-structured data. I would argue that there's probably no data that's really, really unstructured. It's more like semi-structured, but you've heard of this term. Maybe you've heard of non-relational data. These are data that oftentimes IT organizations have archived into, you know, things like tape storage or things like that, but never really taken advantage of in terms of getting insights that would drive your business forward. And so in the analyst world, they're starting to say, hey, there's data that's being generated by machines, from devices, from social sentiment. And a lot of this data is not something that have a table type structure, a relational structure. These are things that would look like, for instance, a log file that has really no structure to it. And so how does IT organization take advantage of these new types of data to get better insights? And so that's the third trend. And finally, the fourth trend is all around the cloud or even hybrid infrastructures that take advantage of both on-premise and cloud. And so what we've seen at Microsoft, and of course it's an uber trend in the IT space, is that more and more organizations are starting to leverage the cloud. And so data is starting to be born in the cloud as well as it's being born on-premise. And so we're starting to see a lot more different data sources that reside not only on-premise but in the cloud. And so some of the stats that we've seen is that from analysts, is that 50% of large organizations, and not just mid-market and SMB organizations, will have a hybrid infrastructure, which is both on-premise and cloud, by 2017, which is relatively short in terms of the time horizon. And so what we now wanted to do was define what big data is. And you probably have heard of big data from pretty much everyone. So everyone is talking about big data, and everyone is talking about the fact that they have a big data solution. But what actually is the traditional definition for big data? And so we just wanted to cover this off just so that everyone is grounded on this terminology. What we've seen for big data is it's kind of a misnomer in terms of its naming. It's not necessarily only about data volume, although that is a very important characteristic of big data. It's essentially the intersection of the data size in addition to the data complexity, which would be both variety and velocity. So what I mean by variety and velocity? Well, I just defined kind of the new unstructured or non-relational different data types. That would be what we mean by data variety. So variety of data that's not just your standard structured relational tables. We also have unstructured and semi-structured, and they're coming in real time, as I mentioned before. And so that's as it relates to data velocity. And so when you bring together both the data size as well as the data complexity, that's essentially the kind of the pure form of what big data was essentially before everyone started talking about it in the marketplace. And so you're starting to see different types of data, right? Instead of just the data that you would find in a data warehouse or your line of business application, you're also combining that with things that are coming from your websites, things that are coming from digital marketing, things that are coming from your log files, things that are coming from your devices. And what essentially the business value is to get the insights not only from your traditional stores, but from the entire data universe, as I mentioned, is you can get a lot more insights. And I'll start talking about some of the business benefits of Hadoop and big data in a subsequent slide, but you can start to see, wow, I can get a lot more different insights that can drive different business decisions when I start to encompass the broad data universe as part of my decision-making process. Okay, so what is the solution that has basically transformed the market so far? And that really is this technology called Apache Hadoop. And so that's one of the reasons why we're here. One of the goals of this webinar is to explain Apache Hadoop. So essentially, Hadoop was designed to handle this big data problem. It was designed initially for the search engines out there. So think of Google and Yahoo, and even Microsoft has Bing as well, is that these search engines wanted to figure out how to index and search the entire internet, right? And so if you were trying to index and search the entire internet, you would need something more than your traditional relational structured data warehouse, because it essentially wasn't designed or architected to encompass that much data. And also not only that much data, but data of that variety and velocity. And so Apache Hadoop was designed with these goals in mind. And essentially what it is today is it's an open source project that is supported by the Apache Foundation. And so essentially a free download if you wanted to get it from an on-premise perspective. It's a highly scalable distributed file system, and I'll explain that in a subsequent slide, actually the next slide. And it does distributed processing around data nodes. And so the essence is, from a value perspective, is Apache Hadoop handles data of volume, variety, and velocity. Okay, so let's go into each one of these points just to drill in on exactly what Hadoop does to execute on these things. So for data volume, Hadoop essentially uses a file system that is distributed. And so what I mean by distributed is it can take a file and put it across multiple nodes or servers/computers. And let's say that you had a file that was 1 terabyte in size, and you had a bunch of servers or computers. Let's just say for illustration's perspective is it had a 500 GB limit. And this is, of course, just illustrative. And so that 1 terabyte file size, it wouldn't be able to fit on that one node or one server unless you split up that file. So with Hadoop, you can actually take that one file and scale and distribute that across multiple server or nodes. And so it could essentially store as large a file as you want, because it takes that and distributes across multiple nodes of computers or servers. And so very large files are supported. And in essence, because very large files are supported, it can actually also store a lot of different files as well. So in essence, if you have the amount of computers or hardware to support however many different files that you want to store, you can store essentially, theoretically unlimited amount of data on this file system, which is called HDFS as part of Hadoop. And so Hadoop allows you to store large data volumes because it could distribute it across multiple nodes and across multiple servers. And so that's point number one. Point number two is that because these files are essentially files, think of this like a server log or any one of these file systems that I actually have on this PowerPoint slide, it can handle data of all variety. So it's not just your table structured, normalized relational data warehouse. It's actually a store of non-structured, or more accurately, semi-structured, non-relational data. So it could take things like server logs. It could take things like social sentiment. It could take things like clickstream data. It could take things like sensors from your devices. And it could take all of these different files that you might have that are quote-unquote unstructured or semi-structured more accurately, and you can land that all within Hadoop. You could also land relational data types as well. It can take all these different data types, and it could store this on top of Hadoop. And Essentially, what it does after that is it gives you a way to do querying and processing on top of this data, but more on that later on in a subsequent point. So the last thing I'll say as it relates to the three points of Hadoop, being that it is all volumes, all variety, and all velocity, is the velocity point, which is Hadoop can also stream live data in real time. There are essentially projects as part of Hadoop that can allow you to stream data in near real time and be able to do processing on that near real time data and essentially get insights before it lands in a permanent storage. So velocity is the third point. Okay, so let's explain exactly what Hadoop is. For some of you guys who might not know anything about Hadoop, this might be new to you. If there are people who have heard a little bit of Hadoop, this might be a little bit more familiar. But essentially, Hadoop, when I explained to you in terms of the origins of Hadoop being the search engine, a way to solve that problem, it has evolved dramatically since then as part of the Apache Foundation. When it became an open source project, other contributors as part of the Apache Foundation or part of the open source community started to iterate on multiple sub-projects that plug into the Hadoop ecosystem. So Hadoop, in essence, has evolved. It started out as just essentially that distributed file system that I mentioned previously and a way to query it with this technology called MapReduce, which does batch querying. But it has evolved since then. Because of the open source community and all the different sub-projects that are part of the Hadoop ecosystem today, Hadoop is essentially evolved into a platform with a portfolio of projects. It is no longer just a simple file system and a query engine. It's a platform that has that and more. So you might have heard of a lot of these interesting and funny names that are part of the Hadoop community, things like Hive or Pig or, you know, Solr or Spark or HBase. A lot of these, interestingly enough, are animal names. And Hadoop, interestingly enough, is a toy animal, and that's kind of how it started. It was a toy elephant. And so you start to wonder, what are these different and interesting different sub-projects or interesting file names, or not file names, but sub-project names? In essence, these are all projects in itself. They all solve an interesting and different problem, and I'll cover this off at a super high level in a subsequent slide, but these all address different things. So if you look at this slide, for instance, there's broad categories around governance and integration. There's a broad category around data access. There's a broad category around security and operations and scheduling. All of these are now capabilities of Hadoop because it's being rapidly developed to address the enterprise. As they start to deploy more and more Hadoop in the enterprise customers are starting to let the Hadoop community know, hey, we need these other capabilities. It can't just be this file system with a way to query it. It has to do more. And so the Hadoop community has responded, and now it's a platform of projects. And in fact, what you're seeing now is an example of a Hadoop distribution. So for those who have no exposure with Hadoop, a Hadoop distribution essentially, it's akin to in the operating system world, there's a Linux distribution, right? And so you have different vendors out there that are creating distributions for Hadoop. And what they're doing is they're essentially packaging up some version of the Apache open source Hadoop querying engine, which is your Hadoop core, plus the file system, which is HDFS. And they're taking some variety of different open source projects that have been designed to integrate with this Hadoop platform, and they're testing it all together as part of an Uber platform slash distro that they released to the marketplace, right? And so, for instance, what you're looking right now is a sample distribution that is Hortonworks, which I'll explain again in a further slide. But Hortonworks has a distribution, and right now they're at HTTP 2.1, and what they've done is they've taken all of these different sub-projects, they've tested it together to make sure that it works well together, and then they package it and make it available for customers to download. And so this essentially is what a Hadoop distro is. It's a bunch of different sub-projects that do all those different capabilities that I showed in the previous slide, and then they wrap it all together in a nice bow for you to download and implement in, at your leisure. Okay, so let's move on. I do want to cover this last slide before I go into kind of the business benefits, which is that whenever I talk about the Apache open source community, I'm actually talking about many different contributors from many different companies. And so what you're seeing here is a sample of the Hadoop core contributors. Of course, there's different contributors for the other sub-projects that I showed previously, but for this for the Hadoop core project, you're seeing a variety of different contributors that are a part of that project, Microsoft being one of them, and of course many different companies that are also a part of that as well. Okay, so let's talk about business benefits just before I go into too deep of why you would even want to implement Hadoop, because it looks like it is quite a bit of new paradigms that I'm bringing to you guys in a very short span of time. And so the very least I can do is talk about some different scenarios in which customers have implemented this and some of the different successes that they've had. And so the essence of why you would want to even look at Hadoop is, I hinted to this at the beginning of today's webinar, which is you essentially want to gain new insights by asking new questions of data that you've never been able to capture before. And what I would argue is you want to bring that new different types of data in addition to the data that you already have, maybe in a structured relational data warehouse. Bring that all together to answer these new types of questions. And so, for instance, what you're seeing here on this screen shouldn't be too surprising in general, in terms of the different scenarios that are intrinsic as part of these industries. But what we're now able to do with Hadoop type data, or this unstructured data that's coming in real time and of large volumes, is that you're getting a better, more holistic view of these problems or these issues. So I'll give you a specific example. In the retail space, which everyone should understand a fair bit more than specifically any of these other industries, depending on if you're in that industry or not, a 360-degree view of the customer is an interesting problem. It's also a problem that's been around for a lot longer than Hadoop has been around, right? And so every organization that has any type of customer base want to know a 360-degree view of that customer, right? They want to know, for instance, if it was a retail organization, they would want to know when that customer made a purchase at their store, what kind of purchases that they want to make, that kind of thing, right? They want to know more about that customer. And so that's not a new problem. But what Hadoop brings to this this problem set is a new way of understanding what a customer does, and that's being done by essentially the web, right? And so a lot of organizations now not only have a brick-and-mortar retail store, they also have an e-commerce website. And so what you can do now, as an example, is that you can have a customer visit your website, and they're clicking through your inventory on your website, and they might show some specific interest in one category of your products. But you would never know that because you're not really tracking that, and you're not really storing that, and you're not really getting any insights on top of that. But with Hadoop, you can, because now with your clickstream data or your web server logs, you can now gather all of that stuff and understand, you can even understand this in real time if you implement this in a specific fashion. But you can understand, hey, a customer went on my website and they clicked on a bunch of stuff. And that bunch of stuff correlates into a broad product category that I already know very well much about, right? And so what I can do now is I can maybe correlate that to some of their in-store purchases and bring that all together as a 360-degree view. And what I can do as a result of this 360-degree view is now I can send a targeted marketing email or flyer or anything like that to a customer to encourage them down the customer purchase life cycle to look at buying that product. Let's say they didn't make that purchase right there and then. You can send some related products to them. You could do that in real time. You could do that over a website or an email. So these are the different types of business problems that are just haven't been possible before, right? Unless we are taking advantage of these new technologies. And so that's really what's driving this Hadoop excitement in the marketplace, is that all these different paradigms of business problems and solutions just were not possible without being able to capture this type of new data sets. And so what I'm showing you is, again, it's just a very high-level example of, hey, these are the different types of a variety of different data, and they're mapped to industry. And this is just a broad high-level example of the different data types that you could take advantage of, right? And so if you're in retail, you can look at that clickstream stuff that I mentioned. And what I'll do at the end of this session is actually cover over some of the customer examples of who did what and what are the different types of new insights that they were able to capture as a result of this. But this is just a high-level overview of what's possible and some easy wins if you're a part of these industries that you could potentially do. Okay, so let's kind of transition from what is Hadoop, although I'll continue to talk about that for the rest of this webinar, but let's talk about why you would want to deploy to the cloud, what's Microsoft's solution, and how do you get started right away. So let's go into the cloud point. Okay, so hopefully I convinced you, at least from a very high level, what is the reason why you would even look at Hadoop, and why are people excited, right? Why are people excited about taking advantage of these new data types? And so what I wanted to do now is cover why it's a little bit difficult if you have no experience with Hadoop in the past and you have no expertise in your organization, what are the challenges with implementing Hadoop? And so as I mentioned in the beginning of this call, Hadoop is an open source project, right? This is an Apache-sponsored open source project. And so if you wanted to, right after this call, you can go to the Apache Foundation and download Hadoop today and get up and running, right? You could do that as an IT professional. Here are the challenges for doing so, and it really stems down to this point, which is Hadoop right now is difficult to get up and running on a multi-node implementation. So you can go ahead and try it and kind of experience this for yourself, but if you were to go and download the software bits and try to put it together, once you get into it's relatively easy on a single node on a single computer. Once you start getting it over multi-nodes and you want it to scale out to the workloads that Hadoop was designed for, which is multi-petabytes worth of data, you would then have to go into the interesting conundrum of needing to purchase the hardware and do capacity planning and manage that Hadoop infrastructure with the right updates and the operating systems and be able to tune that with your infrastructure. All of those challenges start to come into play. It's very easy to get going, kind of download and install and get up and running. But once you start to really use Hadoop for what it's meant for, it starts to become more and more challenging. And so why would this be a great workload for the cloud? It's great for the cloud is my argument. It wasn't designed for the cloud, but it's the perfect workload to run in the cloud. And here are the reasons why. As I said, Hadoop was designed to solve the big data problem. And so it essentially would be great if it was storing your petabytes and petabytes of data. If you had a whole bunch of server logs, if you had a whole bunch of structured and unstructured data, you wanted to put it into Hadoop, it was designed for that kind of workload. But the essence of that is that then you would need to have the appropriate infrastructure to be able to handle that type of data. And that means that you would have to be in the business of managing, a lot of servers, a lot of hardware, a lot of infrastructure to be able to do all of that. And so why Hadoop is great for the cloud is that you don't have to worry about any of that when it's deployed in the cloud. In fact, you can get up and running with Hadoop. You don't have to download a single thing 10 minutes after this webinar, right? And I'll actually tell you how you can do that afterwards. There's no hardware to think about. There's no hardware costs, right? There's no CapEx expenditure that you would have to plan for. There is a theoretical unlimited scale because you're leveraging the hardware that's in the cloud, right? And so you never have to worry about that yourself. It's already implemented, it's already customized, it's already tuned for however many hardware that you want to bring to bear to whatever problem that you're facing. You only have to pay for what you need. This is an interesting point because in the cloud, we have the opportunity to spin up and spin down Hadoop clusters at will. So for instance, if you had a problem set where you only really had to spin up a query at certain points of the day or certain points of the month or even certain points in the quarter, like for instance, if you were doing some major number crunching at the end of the quarter and you need a Hadoop to run then, you only have to spin up a large set of servers and pay for those when you need it. And when you don't need it, you could spin it all down and not pay for anything. So this is why the cloud really brings some really interesting benefits to the Hadoop ecosystem. And the final point is deployed in minutes, right? And again, I've kind of alluded to this in the beginning of this slide anyways, is that you could be up and running, you know, within 10 minutes of this call. There's really no kind of barrier to doing so, with the exception of learning a little bit about the Hadoop ecosystem and how to run it. But you're deployed in minutes, literally, across as many nodes as you potentially want to deploy it across. So Hadoop in the cloud makes a lot of sense. It essentially is a great workload to run in the cloud. Okay, so the final point I wanted to make around the cloud point is that at Microsoft anyways, we're not in the business of necessarily forcing anyone to the cloud if they don't want to. So we're very cognizant of the hybrid point, which is some customers want some parts in the cloud, some of them maybe don't want to do it all in the cloud all the time. So we want to make sure that they have the ability to run a hybrid type infrastructure where some of their Hadoop and data warehousing is on premise, some of their Hadoop or data warehousing is in the cloud. Maybe you have the ability to sync the two, but let's say that you had a Hadoop implementation or a data warehouse on premise and that you wanted to take advantage of the cloud for essentially that cloud point that I just mentioned, which is, hey, I can spin up a very large amount of nodes in the cloud when I need it. And when I don't need it, I can keep the rest of it on premise and just run my data infrastructure on premise. But every time I need a large, do a large query across a lot of data, I'm going to spin that cloud Hadoop cluster back up and run that. That would be great. And that's essentially one of the scenarios that Microsoft will allow you to implement. In essence, it's, let's say that you had a 10-node, I'm going to make this very real in terms of a scenario. You're running a 100-node Hadoop cluster on-premise, and that's where you run most of your workloads. But every quarter, you need to do a very large transaction or query or processing of your data, and you need a lot of nodes and bring that to bear. If you are running a hybrid implementation of Hadoop and have some Hadoop on-premise in this 100-node cluster and have some of that data in the cloud, you can instantaneously spin up a 1,000-node cluster of Hadoop and run your query on top of that 1,000 node. And once you're done with whatever you need to do, you can spin down that 1,000 nodes and you're good to go. You still have that 100-node cluster on premise. And so you're now getting this scenario of elastic bursting into the cloud as you start to think about hybrid scenarios. And so there's definitely some interesting examples of both on-premise and cloud that I wanted to highlight for you guys that is available as part of Hadoop implementations. Okay, so let's talk about Microsoft's solution for Hadoop and what we provide specifically for the cloud. But I also talk about hybrid scenarios and what you could do as well here. So the first thing that I wanted to do was explain what is Azure HD Insight. Just so that you know what it is and kind of go into a little bit of the details of what are the next click down on top of its capabilities. Okay, so Azure HD Insight is a 100% Apache Hadoop distro that is running in the Microsoft Azure cloud. So everything I talked about in terms of Hadoop and the Hadoop distro is true of HD Insight. We are a distro, and we're 100% Apache Hadoop, and we host it in the cloud as a service, a Hadoop as a service offering for you to leverage on top of any of your data that's in Azure, right? And so it's powered by the cloud, and it also has immersive insights, but that's essentially what HD Insight is. And so what I'll cover now is the 100% Apache Hadoop portion of HD Insight. So the first thing that I'll say, and it's an interesting point, is that Microsoft has been actively contributing to the open source project. So HD Insight is not just something that we necessarily did. Like there's other vendors out there who I won't name that essentially they take the Hadoop distros from one of the Hadoop distro players and package it up and just offer it as part of their offering, whether it's on cloud or it's in their appliance. Microsoft wanted to take a little bit more hands-on approach. And so what we decided to do was we wanted to be part of this community. We wanted to be part of the open source community. And so we actually have engineers that are working with the open source community to make Hadoop better. And so that's definitely an interesting perspective from Microsoft. And so we have thousands of engineering hours, thousands of lines of code contribution to Hadoop. We've actually made, as part of our contribution with the open source community, we've actually made Hadoop faster, and we've been contributing to a lot of the recent innovations as part of Hadoop. And so that's just an interesting perspective. And what we've been doing is we've been partnering with one of our key partners in the space, and their name is Hortonworks. If you guys haven't heard of them, Hortonworks is a Hadoop distribution vendor that has one of the top distributions of Hadoop out there in the marketplace. And so they provide on-premise Hadoop. We've actually partnered with Hortonworks to implement Hadoop on Windows. So there's actually a distribution of Hadoop on Windows now because of Microsoft and Hortonworks teamwork together in this space. And finally, we along with Hortonworks, we work on with them to contribute back to the open source community, as I mentioned before. And so we're very much tightly aligned with them, and we're servicing as much teamwork as we possibly can to make the Hadoop space better. And so in essence, what that has transpired is that HD Insight does take advantage of many of the different code that the Hortonworks community has built and that we've also contributed. And so things like, for instance, Hive is something like that. And so Microsoft actually has contributors in the Hive project. And let me explain what the Hive project is, because I know this is an intro webinar. So Hive essentially is a way to query Hadoop in a SQL-like language. So they have a SQL-like language that they call HiveQL. And it's essentially a subset of SQL. So SQL being, the select from where way of querying data. With Hive, you could actually put a SQL-like, look and feel on top of the file system, the distributed file system that I mentioned in the beginning of this webinar. And so that allows you to make things look like more like rows and tables, as well as it makes it allow you to query it more like a data warehouse query, for instance. And so Microsoft has been actively contributing to the Hive sub project with Hortonworks, and we've dramatically increased the performance of Hive, 100x essentially from where it first started from. And so Hive is getting a lot better. And essentially, why I'm drilling in a little bit on Hive is, if you guys wanted to start to look at the Hadoop space in greater detail, I would definitely recommend Hive as a way that you can get kind of the experience that you're used to as part of the data warehouse using the framework that you're used to, rows, columns, tables, the select from where querying, all that stuff is available as part of the Hive sub-project. And so it's definitely something to look forward to, and it's available as part of HT Insight. And so the other stuff that's a part of HT Insight are things like HBase, which is another Hadoop sub-project that has a NoSQL database, essentially. I won't go into it in too much detail, but you can kind of drill in on these different sub-projects on your own time. But this allows you to do transactional operations on top of your data in Azure Blobs. You also have things like Mahout. Mahout is again another sub-project that does machine learning, and that's part of the Hadoop community as part of most Hadoop distros. And so you can do that kind of functionality as part of HD Insight as well. And again, I won't cover the details in too much detail, but just to let you know that there is a bunch of sub-projects, of course, as part of any typical Hadoop distro, and it's also as part of HD Insight. Okay. So what I'll cover now is the cloud point, because I do want to kind of explain a little bit more detail of what I covered on why cloud and why HD Insight. essentially, as I mentioned to you guys previously, is that Azure HD Insight is a Hadoop distro that's in the Azure cloud. So as part of the Azure cloud, there's some benefits that you intrinsically get for this Hadoop distro. Number one, there's no hardware challenges, as I talked about before, which means that there's no hardware initial cost, there's no CapEx acquisition, you don't have to do any performance tuning, it's already done for you. It has this theoretical unlimited scale, which means that you don't have to really plan for, hey, I need to buy another server, or I need to do this or that. Essentially, if you want another node, if you want another server, you just ask for it and you'll get it, right? And so if today you wanted a 100 node cluster, you can get it. If you wanted a 500 node cluster, you can get it, right? And so this essentially is a really key benefit for deploying Hadoop in the Azure cloud. The second point I want to make specifically around the cloud is you're deployed in minutes. And I think I've already mentioned this a few times, and so I won't belabor this point, but again, if you wanted to get started on Hadoop after this call, by all means, within a few minutes, you'll be up and running. Okay, so that's your deployed in minutes point. This is an interesting point that I do want to emphasize a little bit, which is that HD Insight is the only Hadoop as a service offering, because you can get other offerings that host Hadoop in their cloud, but none of the other offerings out there in the marketplace actually has this mission critical enterprise ready point, which is essentially Hadoop that's backed by a service level agreement or an SLA. And so with Microsoft's solution with HD Insight, we give you three nines of availability, 99.9% uptime, and that's guaranteed by an SLA. That's not available anywhere else. There's no other Hadoop distro hosted in the cloud that has that kind of commitment. That's a great point. The other point is that it also auto replicates your data. And so once you have your data in Azure, it will automatically geo-replicate your data across only the geopolitical zones in which you're in. So we won't auto-replicate your data across different countries, but let's say that you were in the United States and you were putting your data there, we would replicate that across other data centers in the United States. And in that way, you can feel secure that your data is always going to be there no matter what happens to any specific individual data center. This is an interesting point, and it's a really big point for those who are starting to explore Hadoop. Let's say for any of you guys on the call who have used Hadoop in the past or have explored this is a really big point for you guys in that the Hadoop ecosystem in a nutshell is moving uber, super fast. Like I was about to say uber fast, but you know, maybe that term's a little too cool for me. Okay, so it's moving super fast, right? And what you're starting to see is the major versions, not just little point versions, major versions of Hadoop are coming out mid-year, right? So mid-year means multiple times in a given year. It is not just, hey, we're going to release a major version every 12 to 18 months. They're actually releasing major versions multiple times within a year. And so if you're looking at this slide, you can see that like HD Insights, for instance, has updated three times, you know, since October 2013. And so every time a Hadoop cluster is you know, a major version in its release. For you guys as customers who are deploying it on-premise, that means that you'll have to go download the new bits, you know, and then you have to you know, move your data, and you have to get it all up and running again, and you have to do all that work yourself as an IT professional. It's a non-trivial amount of work, right? As from a maintenance perspective, this is in addition to any of the major versions of operating systems or other stuff that needs to get upgraded, like Windows Server or Linux if you're running Hadoop on Linux. And so these are all non-trivial. And but in the cloud world, this is all done automatically. And so again, this is another cloud point, but it's definitely a point that is very relevant for the Hadoop space specifically, because the Hadoop space is moving so rapidly. The major version, as I said, it's just coming out so fast and furious. And as an IT professional, it's really hard to keep up with all these different major versions being upgraded. So it is a point that is an interesting point. The last thing that I'll say in terms of the cloud point is low cost. Why I will say this is it is my belief, and again, I'm a product marketer, but it's my belief by looking at the industry right now that essentially by running HD Insight in the cloud, you will have the lowest cost Hadoop option if you're looking at it from a TCO perspective, across hardware costs, across software costs, and across support costs mainly. Because if you are paying for any Azure support, you will automatically get Hadoop support. And why I'm emphasizing this is because if you go to any of the Hadoop distro vendors right now, and they're all partners of Microsoft, so they're great, and not to say anything bad, but Hadoop support is quite expensive, and it's charged per node. As a customer of Azure, you will automatically get not only Azure support, if you purchase Azure support, but you also get Hadoop support as part of that. So support is covered as part of your Azure support contract. That's number one. Number two, you're only billed by usage, right? And so you're only billed by what you pay for. And it's not, I mean, you're essentially paying for the hardware and you know, and for HD Insight to run on that hardware. It's not something that is incredibly expensive. And so what I would do is I would definitely explore kind of exactly how much running Hadoop would cost, and you'll probably come to the same conclusion that I did as well. Okay, so the last pillar point is around an interesting point of Azure, and I'll just kind of go back to that last slide, which is immersive insights, which is that Microsoft is bringing a lot of different properties to bear as part of our Azure platform that adds a lot of value to Hadoop. And so not only do we have, for instance, BI integration with Power BI, and I don't know if you guys have heard of Power BI, but Power BI is Microsoft's self-service business intelligence solution that runs in the cloud. And so it has integration with HD Insight so that, for instance, within Excel, you can get your Hadoop data into Excel and be able to get insights on top of that. And so our vision is to bring Hadoop to as many users as we potentially can with integration to other BI and analytics tools like Power BI. And so that's definitely an interesting point. The second point that I'll make is Microsoft also released a machine learning solution as part of Azure as a public preview very recently. If you guys haven't seen this, I definitely encourage you guys to learn about this. So we not only support the machine learning that's part of the Hadoop distro, Microsoft also has our own machine learning offering that has a very unique perspective on machine learning. That is bringing machine learning to as accessible place as possible so that more and more people could do machine learning in a collaborative way, in an easy way. And so as part of this grand vision of Microsoft for big data, you can use Hadoop to store and process your data. And then you can, on that same data, bring machine learning to do predictive, the typical analysis that you can do as part of any predictive analytics type solution. you can now do on top of your Hadoop data and get some interesting insights as part of that. And, you know, for instance, implement that recommendation engine that I mentioned. Okay. Two examples of how this is actually transpiring in the marketplace. One is with Virginia Tech, which is a U.S. University. And Virginia Tech is essentially they were trying to analyze genome data from DNA sequencers, right? And so DNA sequencers every single year are generating 15 petabytes of data every single year. And Virginia Tech in their research department wanted to capture all of this genome data so that they can do their analysis to see if they can find trends in that data. And the end result is for them is to do cancer research, right? And so they're trying to do, that's their business case. They want to do cancer research. They have this whole bunch of genome data. They don't know what to do with it. As a university, the options for them is, well, I can go get a grant for maybe, you know, multi-millions of dollars so that I can build my own supercomputer, mainframe, you know, IT infrastructure. And with all this supercomputer data or computers or infrastructure, I can go crunch this data. So that's one option for them. A second option for them was, hey, why don't we try this cloud point? Why don't we try running big data in the cloud and get some insights that way? And so what they did was they started to put all that genome data into HDInsight and was able to crunch all that data by spinning up a cluster when they needed to. And once they didn't need the cluster anymore, they spun it down and no longer had to pay for it. And so this was just a great solution for Virginia Tech. Another example of a customer that's really getting some really interesting insights is Blackball. Blackball is a Taiwanese retailer for things like shaved ice and bubble tea and dessert type options. And what they were trying to do is get different types of insights from their social media. So as a retailer, they wanted to bring in social media like from the Twitter sphere and from Facebook and from all these different social media to be able to capture what the customers are saying about their products, right? And so the specific business benefit that they received was actually quite interesting. They had a hypothesis that in the hot weathers, no one would buy hot drinks, right? And when it's really hot outside, people want to buy cold drinks. So that was our hypothesis. In bringing all of their data into Hadoop, including social sentiment, including you know, the retail point of sales information, they were able to triangulate the actual result of, hey, in fact, this hypothesis that we had in terms of hot weather and hot drinks is actually not true. What we're seeing is that hot weather, people are still buying hot drinks in this specific example. And so they were able to really realize some profound insights that helped them get more sales because they were able to figure out that their hypothesis was wrong, essentially, because they had this new type of data from the social media, and they were able to figure this all out. And so another great example of a customer that has used big data to a great extent. Okay, so we are coming close to time, so I'll just kind of talk to you guys about what is your next steps, and then I'll open it up for a few minutes of questions and answers, if possible, right? Okay, so we'll get, I wanted to say, how do you guys get started? So if you're not an Azure customer today, and you wanted to get up and running on our 30-day trial, the last link will give you a 30-day trial that will allow you to just run that for free, you know, the Hadoop thing for free for 30 days. There is a dollar limit, so I definitely, if you guys are trying this for the first time, definitely pay attention to spinning up your HDInsight cluster, and when you stop your trial, you should spin it down so the dollar limit doesn't keep on ticking. Then what you should do is look at our free, this is all free, everything that I have here from a link perspective is available for you for free. So you can go read the documentation for HDInsight, learn more about Hadoop, learn more about HDInsight. That's available for free. The learning map is a very interesting thing to kind of guide you through the documentation. So that might be an interesting way for you to, hey, where do I go next? What should I learn next about Hadoop? Go to the learning map for that. If you want a deeper level training, something that Microsoft would call 300 level technical training, Microsoft has a free Microsoft Virtual Academy training that you can go to watch 1 hour training on Hadoop, 1 hour training on Hive, 1 hour training on all the different sub-projects of Hadoop. That's all available for free. Go to the Microsoft Virtual Academy link that I have there, and you can start watching those 1 hour seminars. Finally, we have this Channel 9 Data Expose Show. This is interviews with our technical folks. It's not data. This channel that I have up here is not just exclusive to Hadoop. It's basically all of our data properties in Azure and on-premise, like SQL Server. And so if you're interested in our data properties at all, I would definitely invite you to go to the Channel 9 website. And so with that, I'll hand this call back over to Richard to take questions.
So let's proceed with the questions and answers. We have a few questions that have come in. So, Oliver, how do existing systems currently interact with Hadoop? Does having Hadoop in the cloud change this at all?
Okay. So the question is, in case you guys didn't hear, how do existing systems interact with Hadoop, and does have Hadoop in the cloud change this at all? Okay. So I've gone through the benefits of running Hadoop in the cloud. And so a question for that this person is posing is, hey, there's something I have on premise. How do I interact with this Hadoop thing in the cloud, and would that even work, right? And so what I would say is, let's for instance, as an example, you have a database. Let's say it's SQL Server or data warehouse. It could be another vendor. It doesn't really matter. And so how do I interact with this Hadoop in the cloud thing? And so what our solution for that is manifold. We have different on-premise solutions that allow you to query data that's both in your Hadoop cluster on-premise, your relational data on-premise, and your cloud data that's in Hadoop. And so this feature is called Polybase. And I don't know if I have enough time to talk about it today, but definitely look for it online, Polybase, Polybase. It's part of our appliance offer that allows you to query data that's relational, non-relational on-premise, non-relational in the cloud. We will also have a great solution with Hortonworks, which is our partner on-premise, to be able to move data from on-premise to the cloud. And that's also a potential offering for you guys as well, to schedule data movement from on-premise to the cloud. So that will also work as well. And so there's definitely a lot of hybrid scenarios. So there's a lot of hybrid scenarios for you to explore with. And I'll hand this call back over to Richard.
All right, everyone, we are out of time now. Thank you so much for attending this webinar. We hope you learned a lot about Hadoop in the cloud today, and hope that you also continue considering Microsoft Azure as your cloud solution. And with that, thanks again. We will now be closing the call.